Welcome back to Super Tatis for Parshas Truma. I will begin with some stories. I was really taken by the first story. It's not one of the stories that are typically done, but I think this is just fabulous. There was a young man who was complaining about not, you know, wanting to learn Torah and not doing so much work for their mathematics, and it just happened to be that this week the father told me that shortly thereafter the father and him got in a sugya in Sukkah where they had to know about pi and the calculation of pi and how Chazal understand that with respect to his circumference. And then shortly thereafter their father came across a big machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Stipler regarding koras and lechis in Erevin and whether or not a hypotenuse should be calculated to determine a right angle's distance, or perhaps it should be something else. So anyway, the distance of a slant across from right angle. So the upshot is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us messages, and occasionally we need to know about the chokhmah, the general chokhmah, to be able to appreciate chokhmah satorah. And that indeed is the way that the Netziv understands the Kanei Menorah, that all of the kanim of the menorah represent all the shar chokhmas, and in the middle is the chokhmah satorah, and all those chokhmas are supposed to be leaning towards the middle of the menorah, which means that the Torah is supposed to be enlightened in a certain way, but should be the source of all chokhmah. So let's do some other stories which I like very much. So there's a story. There's a story of Lapian. He went to go see Rav Tzvi Hirsch. I believe it's Levinson. Oh, pardon. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Levinson had the yeshiva. He was running Radin at the time, went to visit his shver, the Chafetz Chaim, about a bachar that had unfortunately fallen into a couple of chatoim, and whether or not he's supposed to kick him out of yeshiva. And the Chafetz Chaim said, before you know it, he's going to be a chashuv a rav in Yisrael, and he was. Meaning, don't give up on him. But later, there was a very similar story about a bunch of bachrim who were, I guess, you know, back in the old days, I read this about Volozhin, and I'm sure that sociologically it was true almost everywhere. There weren't like dorms everywhere. It was, you would live in a house. So, there were a bunch of bachrim. I guess they were eating a suda in a particular house, and one of them was not very nice to the Baalas Habayis there, and was a little chutzpahdik and had ha'azus ponim, and the Chafetz Chaim said, get this guy out, because oz ponim legehenim. And he explained that the problem with oz ponim legehenim, as it says in Avos, is that the ozus, this level of stubbornness, brazenness, is going to impede tshuva. So that relevant, obviously, when we're talking about the Mizbeach in Chav Zayin Beis, says it's a kapara on Azus Metzach, so it's something that we should be thinking about now. The second story, in a similar way, so the Av Beis Din of Cherbin, Rav Birish Weidenfeld, he said he generally didn't, express ponim zoafos to anybody when he was doing his doing his business, with the exception of an instance with respect to kavara Torah. He was donned in Torah for a poor person and a rich person, and the rich person didn't win, and the poor person won. So when the rich person kind of got the gmar din, he expressed his displeasure with a lot of azos ponim, and the response from the Rev was, look, it was upon him, there's nothing I can do here. And the rich person was very taken aback, and he was looking for schoolers to try to get out of the deep hole that he had dug himself with, you know, inappropriate behavior. And he remembered that there was a schooler that Rav Elimelech Melezhinsk had a havtocha that anybody who went to go visit his kever would not die without having done tshuva. Okay. So these are the sorts of things that are obviously very hard for me to explain, you know, in a natural order, but this is what he had a Kabbalah for, and he decided he was going on his way to Rav Elimelech's kever, kind of was joyous about it because he wanted to do tshuva and everything. And lo and behold, he died on the way. So everything seemed to work out. We can try to connect the dots and understand that story, but it's definitely a very interesting fact pattern. Rav Zalman Saratskin, in his Hesped for the Grizz, a very, very, this reminds me, I mean, Hespedim really tell you a lot. He asked the following question I thought was really, really nice. He said, look, why is it that we keep a Sefer Torah in an Arun? When it's in an Arun, we can't use it. Why don't we keep it out on the table? Why is it that we have this symbolic thing, that we have the Sefer Torah, which is something which is like the epicenter of our hearts and the focal point of all of our lives, and we put it away, munach b'kufsa, you know, what are we doing here? And he said, the reason why is if anybody wants to falsify something in the Torah, we all know that it's accessible. We can always go and get it, and we will have to check our work for the veracity of what we're saying, because we know that we have an ultimate kind of, an ultimate litmus test or a stick that we can measure up against, right? Yef shar lezayif. And he said the same thing was about Rav Elvel, is that even though Rav Elvel is sitting and learning, we don't always see him and everything else, we know that he's there. So whenever we say Chidush Torah, whenever we come up something, we know that it could be measured up to Rav Elvel. We can always go and check and see the veracity of it. And that will keep us honest as well. I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful Chiddush. Akasha for us to think about. The Akasha this week is, we saw in Chav Zayin Beis a lot of these stories about Azus Metzach this week. And we saw that it was Mechaper on Azus Metzach. But the Gemara in Zvachan Peches says that the Tzitz was Mechaper on Azus Panim. So the question is, why do we have two different things that seem to be Mechaper for the same item? How can that possibly be resolved? I'll do a Mivchar Pninim, then a couple different Torah, and see how much time we get. So the Mivchar Pninim now, we're up to Yud. It's been a very interesting run. Mi shechanenu abore chochma. Somebody who Akash Baruch Hu has been kind to, had the Rachmanis and given them wisdom, lo yid'ag, will not worry, lipaked hatzar vayegiyah. They're not worried about tzaros and extra work. Why? Ki acharis ha-chochma, because after chochma, ha-shalom v'ha-menucha, comes shalom and menucha, v'acharis ha-kesef v'hazav, and after money, ha-tzar v'ha-yigiyah. So I'll unpack a little bit. There are two mahalchim for the first one. So this is a person who has a chiluk and Torah, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But maybe they have tirdas ha-parnasa for whatever reason. You know, it's harder. It's harder for them. So it could be that this is also talking about the fact that we have such a focal point specifically on learning, and we should be davening for chokhmah, and everything else will come after. So, or focusing on that. So that's another one. And the last one is just tirdas ha'olam, is that, you know, the mission in Avos where it says somebody who takes old Torah, you know, old Derech Eretz kind of goes away. Either way, there's a lot to see here, but I think that, you know, one way to say it is that if your real focus in life is the Iker, which is your Avodas Hashem, and getting deeper into Chochmas HaTorah, and it's not, you know, lip service to listen to listen to a quick podcast on the way to work, which for many is a great mila depending on their life situation. But, you know, it's hard to call that the ikker. If we're in that situation where we really make it the central point of our lives and we're trying to balance everything appropriately around it, then all of a sudden a lot of the frills and the other items of life become secondary. Ki achris ha-chochma ha-shalom v'ha-menucha, after that, There's a causal aspect and there's a attitudinal aspect. From an attitudinal aspect, if somebody's real singular focus in life is chokhmah, if you have it, then everything else is kind of frills and that's it. So it's easier to be a tranquil person. And the second one is shalom u'menucha, is also that sometimes as a result, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you more. Charisa kesef, and for money, v'zahav hatzarva yigi. There's a lot of work. I've discussed asset management before as, you know, just a simple problem. Somebody who's got 14 homes has to manage 14 homes. And the Chavos Levavos says it right at the beginning of Shar Bitachon. He says, Hashem yitzileni me pizara nefesh, save me from all these things which will distract me. And he says, what's the biggest pizara nefesh? To have a home on every corner. Right. So it's just something to think about is that we only have so many resources in our mental capacity. Otherwise we short circuit and have overload. Here he's hinting to something like that we should consider. Okay. Alshech. Kabbal Divrei Torah. Alshech says it only uses the word in the parsha, the asu, plural, for the aron and the aron atzei shitim, but with respect to the Mizbeach, it's only using the word ve'asisa, single. So the Mizbeach is for Keser Malchus. The Aron is talking about Keser Torah. He says, for all of the other things, respect to, you know, singular people, they've already been chosen who that is for, right? Kahuna is already set aside. Malchus is already set aside. But one thing which isn't set aside, says the Rambam, that is for the Nachla of all of Israel. So that's why it says Vasu. It's in plural. Beautiful idea. Zohar, interesting idea. Vasuli Mikdash. He says you could be Mekayim that mitzvah de Oraisa today. How are you Mekayim that mitzvah de Oraisa today? You're Mekayim it by making beautiful shoals. Beautiful shoals. An interesting thought. Next, the Kruvim. Porsei Knafayim, right? Rabbi Meir Shapira says that the Kruvim specifically are made of this beautiful gold because this is talking about the Tzi'irei Hatzon who are learning Torah, the young people. And he says it needs to be made out of gold because we need to make our mosdos beautiful. And as we, you know, those of us who've ever spent any history learning about the yeshiva in Lublin, that was like his real theory. He wanted to make something beautiful and accessible and really extraordinary so that the Talmidim could excel there. So it's, actually very applicable, as far as today is concerned, because, your experience may be like mine, but I've seen a lot of, tension in the way that we're kind of addressing both boys and girls, but I see with Yeshiva Bachrim, you know, you find some yeshivas which are very, very highly capitalized and these boys are learning about Paspa Melach, but at the same time, the yeshivas have high standards. The kids are eating better than we do. Sometimes the kids are looking to, you know, to live with designer clothing. And the girls are exposed to this too. The girls and even the finest of, and the firmest of schools are, you know, are coming back very exposed to, you know, quote unquote, the high life. And, it's confusing, I think, to my door, to look at it because we kind of view that as, almost hypocritical, antithetical or something else. I think that, you know, the other side is it needs to make them feel, on one hand, it's my Malchei Rabbanon, they're learning. And the other hand, another way to say it is that we need to encourage them and to show them that their learning is a high priority. And that was definitely part of the message of Amir Shapira. Have a wonderful Shabbos.